The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In the verses under consideration today, we learn more about the great faith of Moses. Moses faced a wicked king with great power, but he feared the righteous God who has all power more than he feared that king. He followed God by faith when he left Egypt alone the first time, and he followed God by faith when he left Egypt with the entire host of Israel the second time. Join us today as we see the faith of Moses as he faced obstacles that he could not surmount on his own. But first, we have a song selection, and after the song, please stay tuned for the message.
Thank you. that we've been in what we call the Hall of Faith here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, we have talked about great biblical figures such as Abel and Enoch and, of course, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah. Tonight, we're talking about Moses. In chapter 11 and verse 24, we have covered the first two or three verses here talking about Moses. We read in verse 24, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." We covered that the last time we were talking about Moses, and we saw how he was a great man as far as the world is concerned. He was a prince of Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God who were pursuing the true worship of God rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. And we focused on that. We talked about the fact there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. You know, there's a fleeting reward in sin, but there are great consequences that often attend that sin. But notice verse 26, as we're about to move forward into verses 27 through 29. But notice in verse 26, it says here, this is very important, "esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt." That's very important for those of us that believe that the Old Testament is as much a part of the Scripture as the New Testament. I know some people that don't spend much time in the Old Testament. Nah, that's the Old Testament. We're New Testament Christians. Well, I understand what you may be saying sometimes. We're New Testament Christians in the sense that we understand the New Testament ushered in a new mode of worship, a new era of public worship, and the way we do things today doesn't match up with the way they did things back then. But if you're only in the New Testament, you're missing out on the majority of the Scripture. Because the majority of the Scripture's in the Old Testament, and notice what it says. It didn't say that he esteemed the reproaches of God, although he could have, because Christ and God are the same. He said he esteemed the reproach of Christ, and that tells us that Christ is in the Old Testament. Christ himself said to the Jews over there, the Pharisees, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." They were trying to work their way to heaven by keeping the law. "But they are they that testify of me." In other words, the Old Testament is pointing us to Christ. And what Moses was doing when by faith he was following God was actually esteeming Christ as greater than the treasures of Egypt. And that's what he did. And now tonight we want to begin in verse 27 and 28 and 29 and look at some things about Moses' faith that are contained there. Verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." Here we're reading about Moses. Remember, he was the great patriarch of the Jews. He was the titan of theology. He was the lawgiver. He was the man they looked to so often. And he looms so large in the Jewish religion. But we see here that this man Moses was indeed a man of great faith. Moses' faith was manifest in many choices that he made, many life-changing choices, choices that not only changed his life, but the lives of all those around him. And here in these three verses, we're going to see the overcoming faith of Christ. You know, faith is the way that we, as children of God, can overcome the troubles of life. I mean, first of all, faith is the way that we overcome our own human nature. Now, you understand, I hope, before we go any further, that we're not talking about faith that we work up within ourselves. There's faith that's implanted in the new birth. We cannot have faith without having been given faith by God. As a matter of fact, he tells us that he works in us both the will and the do of his good pleasure. In other words, he gives us initially in the new birth, we receive faith. Galatians 5:22 tells us faith is a fruit of the Spirit. But see, that faith that we get in the new birth, while that's given to us, it's like a muscle that needs to be worked. And that's what the Hall of Faith, I believe, is teaching us here. It's teaching us how we can work out the faith that God has given to us. You know, Brother Mason goes down, as I've said this many times, he goes down and he works out. He works out the muscles that he already has. He doesn't go down to work out in order to get muscles. He goes down to work out because he has muscles that need to be built up. And that's what Moses is doing here, and all these great characters of Hebrews chapter 11, they're working the faith that God has given them in the new birth. And that's important for us today. That's not going to get us to heaven, but it is going to get us closer to God here in this life, in fellowship with Him. So let's look at what he did here, okay? Now, faith, as I've said already, is what we need to overcome the troubles of life. And Jesus described this overcoming faith in a couple of places, in Luke chapter 17 and Matthew chapter 17. He said in both places, essentially, well, in Matthew he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed to yonder place, and it'll happen. And then in Luke he said that if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say to this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, those are pretty amazing things. You know, if you could walk up to a mountain and you had enough faith, he said, now, I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher here, understand. He's saying, though, that if you can walk up to the mountain with just a tiny amount of faith, that mustard seed faith, you could say to that mountain, just get out of my way. or if there's a tree in your way, you could just say, get yourself up, be plucked up, and go be planted in the sea. You can't plant anything in the sea, but by faith you can, you see. Now, what he's saying there is not the prosperity gospel. He's not saying that, oh, you just have to have enough faith and you can name it and claim it. You can claim the $10,000 that you need to pay the debt and it'll come to you. He's not saying that. What he's saying is that when we have faith and we come up on the mountain itself may still be there. But as far as our spiritual walk is concerned, it'll be completely gone. You know, there's God, I've had this happen in my life, and I hope you have in yours. And if we keep walking by faith, we can come upon mountains that are real mountains. And you know, if we approach it by faith, before I know it, I'm on top of the mountain. The mountain's still there, but God has made a way that is so clear and so much easier walking with Him than if I had to take out my grappling hook and start, you know, digging in and trying to scale that mountain myself. I couldn't do it. So these things here, and see, both those statements of Jesus describe things that are impossible for men to do, but not impossible for God, because we know that God can do all things. So let's look at this, beginning here in verse 27. Notice what happened here. He faced a wicked king. He was facing some problems here. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, remember what we said to start with. Moses was a prince of Egypt, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Learned, we're told by Stephen in Acts chapter 7 and verse 22, and all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty. He was a mighty Egyptian boy, or mighty Egyptian man. And he was able, he wasn't a second-class citizen of Egypt. He was a full-blown royalty. He was full-fledged royalty in Egypt. And he had access to all of the great things of Egypt. But now notice what it says. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. Now, I don't have to remind you, I don't think, that Egypt, in almost every case in the Scripture, is used to describe the world. It's a bad place. It's not the good place. Abraham went down into Egypt, and he came back with a little handmaid, Egyptian handmaid, that gave him all kind of trouble. I don't advise you to ever go to Egypt. You see, not the literal Egypt, but the spiritual Egypt. It's the world. But notice what he did. By faith, he forsook it. He forsook Egypt. Now, we know that he actually left Egypt twice, right? He was born and raised there, and he left it when he was about 40 years old, and then he came back and left with the nation of Israel with him. The first time he left alone. The second time he left with a nation. He left delivering them out. Now, I believe, and I'm not going to argue about it. If some other preacher sees it or you see it differently, then I'll just grant you that Christian liberty. I'm convinced, though, that this is talking about the first time he left. Some preachers that I've read after believe that it's the second time, but I believe this is talking about the first time he left Egypt. Because we're told that when he was full grown, according to Exodus chapter 2, he went out, and if you remember the story, he saw an Egyptian that was beating a Hebrew slave, and he killed that Egyptian and buried him in the sand. And then a few days later, he saw two Hebrews fighting each other and admonished them about it, and they said, well, you're going to kill one of us like you killed that Egyptian. And then he did have fear. It says he did not fear the wrath of the king here, but notice what happened initially. He had some fear. Stephen tells us even more about that. Stephen says that when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So something important about that, we mentioned it last time, is that Moses was not oblivious to who he was when he left Egypt the first time. We're told that it came into his heart to go visit his brethren. In Acts chapter 7, we might just turn back over there just to reinforce that. Acts chapter 7 and verse 24, notice what it says there. He says, and seeing one of them suffering wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. We just talked about that. But now notice verse 25, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not. Moses had apparently been told somehow by God or by his mother, by God through his mother. I don't know if it's a direct revelation or not. I kind of think that the first time he had a direct encounter with God is at the burning bush. But at some point he had been told that he was going to be the deliverer of his people, the nation of Israel. And he just thought they would understand that. Now let me just stop there and say this. Sometimes when we come to see some truths of God's word, we just think other people ought to see them too. I've had that experience where I see it so plainly in the scripture and I'm thinking, man, they ought to see this. And they ought to. They should. If it's true, everybody ought to accept it. Everybody ought to embrace it. But I hope you've not had as bad of experiences as I've had, but I've had some bad experiences where I tried to share the truths of God's word with somebody that I was close to. I actually ended up getting hit by one of them at one point. But it wasn't too bad. We didn't actually get in a fight. But the point here is that Moses thought it was time. But you know, God has a time that only he knows. And you know, I've seen those same situations where I shared the word with somebody and they just completely blew it off, or they completely rejected it. 10 years later, they come back and they talk about it, or they bring it up, or somebody else talks to them about it. And here they come into full acceptance and belief of the truths of God's word. There's a great lesson here. This more than beyond what I want to preach on tonight, but just understand that Moses thought it was the right time, but we need to remember to wait on God's time. So he left Egypt. And he left Egypt in faith, not in fear. But now, if you go back to Exodus, you're going to read that he feared some things. He was afraid and he ran. So what's up with that? Well, I believe here when the writer of Hebrews tells us by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, he's not telling us that Moses is some kind of superhuman Christian. He's not some super saint that never had any fear, never had any doubts, never had any anxiety about anything. As a matter of fact, you really can't have faith without fear. You understand what I'm saying? You can't have faith without, you know, if you're not afraid of anything, you're just going to bull your way on through it, you know? But see, it's only when the fears come that our faith is activated in a sense. If you're going to walk by faith, it means you've had some fear, but you're going anyway. You know, we've heard the saying before that the coward and the hero feel the same fear. They just react to it differently. They just respond to it differently. You know, I've had situations where I was so afraid and I didn't have much faith and I didn't do what I should have done. But I've also had situations where I've been terribly afraid, in fact, almost in terror, but I had faith that I was on the right path and doing what God wanted me to do, and so I walked the path anyway. That's faith. That's walking by faith. See, walking by faith is something that's not easy to do. Walking by faith means you really don't know anything else but the next step. I don't like that. I like to have all my steps plotted out, you know. I sit down and make plans. We go on a trip. We used to go out west. We went out west several times. I'd go on the internet. I'd go on Google Maps, and I'd print out 10 or 12 pages of stops here and stops there. You know, not one time did that plan ever work out. Not one time. We never made it as far as I wanted to. We never got to take the detours I expected to, and we always ran out of time. But so walking by faith, though, is not like me planning a trip. Walking by faith is just when God says, okay, go here. And you go. And you don't know how it's going to turn out. See, I don't think Moses knew what was in store for him when he left Egypt. But he left Egypt not fearing the king of men, but fearing the king of heaven. You see, Pharaoh sat on this visible throne. He had visible subjects. He had a visible kingdom protected and powered by a visible army. But Moses saw the invisible God on an invisible throne in an invisible kingdom with an invisible army, protecting him in his walk. Faith helped him, and faith helps us see a greater reality than what we see around us. Did you know that the kingdom of God, it's a spiritual kingdom. It's not a visible kingdom. Jesus himself said that. He said, it cometh not by observation. But did you know that the kingdom of God is more real than the Congress of the United States? The kingdom of God is more real than anything we see around us. It is the only thing that will last. Kingdoms of men will fall. Presidents will die. Kings will be dethroned. But the Lord God Almighty sits on his throne, and his kingdom will never end. It will never end. And faith is the only way we can see that. You know, it goes back to the new birth. He said, you must be born again. He said, verily I say unto you, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But when he's born again, he has faith, and he can see it. And that's what Moses was doing here. He was walking by faith. And he was 40 years old, by the way. You know, Joseph was 17 when he was uprooted and sent to another land. I can kind of see, I hear, you know, people that are in their teens, kind of not really established yet, moving around here and there. You know, I understand them uprooting and moving somewhere else, maybe their early 20s, young men, young women. But I'll be honest with you, I'm 56 years old, and even 16 years ago when I was 40, I had no intention of going anywhere else. I mean, the idea of uprooting and going somewhere would have just been so difficult. Now, Brother Buddy's sitting here. Brother Buddy has done that more than once. And you know how he's done that? He's done it by faith. I just didn't have enough faith to uproot and move somewhere else. But think about this. He's 40 years old. He's not a young man. He's 40 at this point. And he fled from the only place he had ever known in his life. And he's going, if you search out the timeline of Moses, he's going to come back in 40 more years at the age of 80. And actually, at the age of 80, he's going to undertake the greatest work of his life. Now, Brother Mackey, when I'm 80, I hope I'm sitting down resting somewhere. I'm do what I can, but I'm not planning on undertaking the greatest work of my life at 80. I can't hardly feel like I've got the energy to do it now. But Moses undertook the greatest work of his life. Sometime go back and read about Caleb, Joshua and Caleb. Caleb was a man who he was always there, always ready to help, always, but never came into his own until he was 80 years old or so. And he was sent up there to take a mountain. See, here's the thing. You say there's no way at 80 years old or that I'd have the energy or the ability to do this. But did you know that you can do anything with the Lord? You can do anything with the Lord.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.